chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to have Sandy Brown on the show today. Sandy is the founder and president of Gateway Creative Broadcasting in St. Louis, Missouri, radio personality, and host on Joy FM. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, Sandy, I am looking so forward to our conversation today. I've been looking forward to this now for quite some time, and I'm so glad that we were able to make this work. Thank you so much for being willing to be on the Something Extra podcast.
Looking forward to our time together, Lisa, always.
Well, we have got so much that I want to talk about, so we need to really dive right in. But the listeners may not know a little bit about how you grew up. Now, did you grow up in Illinois or St. Louis?
Southern Illinois is where I was born. Then we lived up in Chicago for a little bit, came back to the Metro East Side, Waterloo, Columbia area is where I went all through school, met my husband. We've raised our family. So yeah, St. Louis metro area since I was in about fifth grade. So it's definitely home.
So tell me, did you grow up with siblings?
I have an older brother. Actually, my mom and dad divorced when I was 5. She remarried and I had a stepdad in the picture, and that was a very rocky, difficult home life situation. And then they divorced when I was around 13. And then an additional stepdad entered the picture when I was 20 or so. So I always like to talk to moms who hope that they've not damaged their kids or are concerned that choices that they've made in the past have some difficult, you know, ramifications on their kids, to say, hey, you know what? It's all right, right? That we're going to end up in good places. So there's just this way of God being faithful that we can end up in places that are okay, even from broken homes.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I know, you know, your whole goal is to give hope and help to people. But you ended up going and you got a degree in communications, right?
I did, from Maryville here in St. Louis, and started interning at both secular and Christian radio then. So I had exposure to both. But yes, got my degree in communications, emphasis in broadcasting, from Maryville.
And so let me ask you, was there something in your childhood that you were fascinated by radio personalities? Did you think when you were a child, I want to be in radio one day? Or what was the precipice for all that?
Well, I got in trouble for talking a lot at school. I don't know if that was my early indication that talking might be part of my profession. I don't know. But really, in high school, I give all credit to my high school speech coach. I wanted to be on the speech team. And there were all different kinds of events and categories. And she told me that if I wanted to participate in anything else I wanted to do, that I also had to do an event called radio, where you would show up and they would give you about 30 minutes of content that you had to whittle down into a 5-minute newscast. And I'm like, oh, that's boring. Who would want to do radio? You know, I said, okay, if that's what I have to do the other things that I want to do. And I came back from my first tournament and I was like, I loved it. So I came into it because I was forced into it and lit a fire, and I love it.
Oh, wow. Well, there's a lesson right there, isn't it? These things come from unexpected places, and she lit a fire in you that you didn't even know that existed. Well, so you went on and got your degree in communications, but you told me that you actually got to work for an organization that Greg and I both love and have supported for years, and that's Focus on the Family. I did not know that about you until I started getting ready for our podcast today. So tell me about that experience a little bit. You lived in Colorado Springs for a while, right?
Right. So I was in St. Louis Radio before working for them and then after, but they had a position in their creative services department and I loved to write. I loved creative writing and I loved what that organization was about and to be able to be a part of something that was large and in their prime and reaching a lot of people. And so I took that position and then was later promoted into a producer position out there where you got to think of topics for daily broadcasts and who the guests might be and vet them out and then prepare information for the host, who was Dr. Dobson at the time, and basically present him with a packet that would completely prepare him for whatever that interview was to be like. I was fascinated by it. And so went out there and not only learned a lot about interviewing, about presenting guests and topics, but also about a not-for-profit corporation, which would come in very handy for me somewhere down the road, and just how to do something with excellence. They had a standard there of expectation of employees professionally and personally and things. And it was such a good place for me to learn. So I learned a lot professionally and personally there.
Such an amazing organization. Well, I'm so glad you got to get that experience. So I know, now Greg and I are not St. Louisans. We're originally from Kentucky. We're transplants. Moved here right after college to work for McDonnell Douglas. But I mean, I remember we had a Christian radio station here and I was delighted by that because we grew up in a city where we did not have that. But there was a Christian radio station here. And then 97, that station got sold. And then we went for about 3.5 years without any Christian radio. And then here comes Sandy Brown and Sandy starts Joy FM. Tell me, was it all the experiences that you had had up to that, Sandy, that really prepared you for doing that? What gave you the confidence to start that station?
Probably more naivete than confidence, to be honest. I had never led an effort. I'd never started an effort. I was on the air and worked in the background of programming and music, but I just was passionate. And I felt it was wrong that this city didn't have a format that I knew it could sustain. And I reached out to K-Love and all of the big entities and around the country who had stations in a variety of cities and asked them to come and fill the need and the gap. And, you know, it wasn't the right time for them to do that. And so I thought, okay, well, if no one else will, I have nothing else to do. I just lost my job. I'll just walk in and see what it would take. And so we started a not-for-profit. And me and another woman who was very unqualified as well, she was the leading salesperson at the radio station and I was an on-air DJ. And I think we were just available to explore. We worked really hard for 3 years. We had no salary. We just wanted to keep it before our listeners, previous listeners, that we wanted to try to do something and try to network and find a radio station that would sell. And it took 3.5 years to find a station, even though it wasn't in St. Louis proper, it was outside of St. Louis that would be willing to sell. And that's where we got our start. And so it was availability more than anything. I don't want to overstate what it was. And honestly, we hired a general manager then. I never wanted to start this to run it. I just wanted to be a part of it and loved Christian radio. And so we hired a general manager and they got scared a couple of weeks off, like, what, this startup, this isn't going to make anything. Or so they backed out. And the board of directors came to me and said, would you run it? We don't have anybody else. And I said, I'll do it for 1 year. You put it in writing. You put me a contract. I won't do it a day longer, but I'll do it because no one else will. And they just keep renewing the contract. So that's how that worked. I had never worked a day in non-commercial radio. I didn't know anything about it, but I was just willing to work hard and I believed in it very passionately.
There's an old adage that says, if God calls you to do it, he'll equip you. And it's not about whether or not you've got the ability. It's whether or not you're available. And you just said, I'm available. And you figured it out with God's help. And this other lady, obviously, and a board of directors. There's another lesson. It takes a lot of people, you know, to make these things happen. So that was 2001. And then in 2009, you felt like God asked you the question, are you ready? And you said at the time you had no idea what that meant, but what a profound question. And I'd love for you just to tell our listeners a little bit about that and then the journey into the signal that you ended up buying.
Well, when we got Joy FM on the air in 2001, and in one way, it was a huge victory because there was nothing to something, but most of St. Louis could not listen. There was a lot of static and very few songs getting in the way of that because the signal was so far south of St. Louis. It was our biggest hurdle. We had all of this desire to reach everybody and no ability to do so. And you can't just go turn it up. The FCC has boundaries and things. And so we would pray year after year after year about it. And out of seemingly nowhere, I felt like it was God. I didn't hear a voice. but I felt like he said, are you ready? And I said, for what? You know, and I didn't get an answer, but I sensed that it was, are you ready to go into a space that's bigger than where we are right now? Well, of course we were. We were ready for, you know, 7-8 years, but I don't think he meant, you know, would you like to do this? I literally came back to our board of directors and I said, God wants to know, are we ready? And they're like, for what? And I said, I don't know. I don't think it's a conditional. I think it's more about, are you ready and eyes wide open for me to do something here? And so we just said, yes, God, we're ready. And it was shortly thereafter that we heard that 99.1 was going to be available. And I don't know how much of the story that you want here, Lisa, but
I want you to tell. It's an amazing story.
It's crazy. So we, this small station with no reserves, no money, said, yes, God, we're ready. And that didn't mean financially, right? It didn't mean we had a signal. It just meant, God, we would love for you to do something here. And so we went and talked to the owners of the station. They told us it would take $30 million to buy 99.1. And that was $30 million more than we had. So we were like, wow. I went right from that meeting to the Starbucks in Kirkwood and cried because I felt like, God, what are you doing? You're showing us there's a signal, but it's so far out of reach. The board chair and I just decided after that meeting, well, okay, we can't do that, but what could we do? And we prayed and we felt like the Lord brought us to a number amount that, okay, if we got this big signal and we got so many listeners, over time we would be able to pay, right? And we created this scenario that in 20 years, it would be worth $18 million. Somehow we were going to get there, but it would take no payments for a couple of years, no interest for a couple of years, just crazy terms because we couldn't get a bank loan. And we submitted the offer and they said, no, we said $30 million. This is $18 million and we're financing it. No, that's not how this is going to work. And then several months later, they called us back and they said, why did you offer $18 million? And we said, well, because one, we felt like it was what God led us to do and what we could do over time. And they said, well, we just had the station appraised and it came in at $18 million. And that's weird that our appraisal and your number matched. We just wonder if we're not supposed to do this deal with you. So no negotiation. They did the deal as we presented. That's how we got on the signal. And I was both scared and excited at the same time because I was like, yes, God, it's here. But then I was like, whoa, how do we now do $18 million, right?
Oh, no.
And it was just one of those things. I think yet a God, again, was going, are you ready? But you're not the one that has to do it. You just have to be available and watch and listen and be willing to step into the door I'm going to open. And sometimes it's a scary door. It seems bigger and more than what we thought we could do. And instead of taking 20 years, Lisa, as you may know, within 3 months, our audience went from 80,000 people to over 400,000 people, which was double what we ever thought would be listening to our station ever. And we're like, wow, God. So we went to them and said, are you ready? And could we pay this off in 10 years? And that's what happened last year. Joy FM listeners paid off $18 million signal in 10 years.
Yeah. Listener supported. That is such an amazing story, Sandy, and just such a testament to when we like take our hands off the wheel and let God do what only He can do. You know, it's an only God thing, but you know, you just being the vessel and being ready. I think that's such a profound question. So are you ready? Are you ready to go to the next level? I said, are you ready to make the changes that I might call you to make? This can apply to anybody. And you said this is kind of like a staple for the station. People know that question. And sometimes, like you said, it's scary doors. It's uncomfortable, unfamiliar places. But, you know, if we have trust and faith, God's going to take us there. And it's more than we can hope or imagine. To your point, you went in 3 months, many more listeners than you ever thought would listen. So He blew the top off of that.
I feel like it was a question that was not just for the moment, too. I feel like He wants us to always be ready for what He wants to do. I think sometimes we get really fixated on what we can do or what we want to do, and we want to make something happen or we want to, you know, whatever. And we always talk as a staff, you know, we can come up with ideas, but none will be able to match what He has in mind. We've just seen that happen. And so more than coming up with things, we want to be positioned and be ready for what He has in mind and just say, we won't be afraid. Initially, we might be, right? We might freak out and go cry at Starbucks, but in time, God, we want to be ready. We want to be available. We want to do what you have in mind because there's no way we could even come up with that. And so are you ready for our staff and our culture here is really an invitation every day to say, I'm still ready. God, are you ready now to do something else or more or whatever, because we are, and not to assume that he always will, right? Or whatever, or timing that we haven't figured out, but just to stay available and say, God, we're ready today. When you're ready, we're ready.
Yes. Oh, I love that wisdom. It will be one that sticks with me, Sandy. So thank you so much for that. But we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Sandy Brown.
Are you an IT executive with years of experience? Are you energized when you empower others? If I've piqued your interest thus far, you may be a great mentor for the TechLX program in St. Louis. TechLX prepares rising IT leaders to tackle today's challenges and prepare for tomorrow's demanding roles by pairing them with senior IT executives like yourself. Mentors receive coaching from technology partners and will be invited to all TechLX networking events featuring outstanding speakers of the IT industry. To apply, visit tpi.co/TLX.
Okay, so now we have this wonderful station, Joy FM, and I love how you guys have really created a movement, and people that listen know that you guys talk about choosing joy and joy someone today. You've been joyed. I mean, tell us a little bit more about that, and I'd like for you just to talk about the mission, and then we'll move into some other things.
Well, choosing joy, I mean, and we didn't create that. You can find shirts and things all, but we did like the idea of we can on any given day be intentional about something, right? We're intentional about posting things or arguing or jumping on this bandwagon or whatever. And we're like, is there a better bandwagon than being joyful? And so it's just that simple that, hey, you do have a choice today. And what if we all just chose to be joyful ourselves and to try to share that with somebody else? A listener actually came up with a concept of you just got joyed. And we're like, oh my gosh, that's a genius. And so instead of a random act of kindness, we just call that concept of joying somebody. And then when that happened, we just say, you just got joyed. And it feels good. And it's so amazing whether someone's paying for somebody in the drive-thru behind them or whatever, we then get the calls. And they always say it's more meaningful than what it on paper looks like. Someone paid for my $3 coffee or whatever, but I was having a bad day. And then they just start to fill in this story of how meaningful it was to them, which then just spurred us on to go, okay, it's going to look like one thing to you. It's going to look like $3 to you, but it's going to feel like joy to somebody else. And so we just encourage people to choose joy for themselves and to share it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. A spiritual mentor one time to me said, every time you enter a room, think about a joy meter. Does the joy meter go up or does it go down? You know, and it's just such a great thing to keep in the forefront. You can bring joy to everybody you meet, you know, if you're intentional. Now, if you're not intentional, then nothing happens, right? So what is the mission statement?
Our mission statement, the staff will be proud if I can say it, but because we spend a lot of time on our mission, but desiring obedience above all, we will use Christian music as a means to encourage, to unite, and to share Jesus. That's the crux of what it is. And what I think most people get, okay, you want to encourage people, you want to bring people together, and you want to share Jesus, you're a Christian station. But what's the whole desiring obedience above all thing about, right? And that's the one that our staff, I think, appreciates the most over time. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier, Lisa, which is we're not here so much to drive something ourselves as much as it is to follow, because we've just found that when we do that, God does bigger and more things that we couldn't do on our own. So we just wanted to make sure that we lead with that intentionality up front. Like, okay, is this something that God has birthed or not? If not, we want to be really, really careful about that. And if so, we want to chase that with everything we have.
I'm thinking of Chris Tomlin's song, I Will Follow. Yeah, I'll follow wherever you lead. But listen, if he's not leading you there, don't go there. Okay, I'm so grateful to Joy FM because Joy FM has been a presenting sponsor now for every year of the Christian Business Women's Breakfast that happens in the fall. And last year, I got to know you a little bit more personally because you were a panelist and I got to, you know, have the privilege and the honor of moderating that panel. You said something that really, truly has stuck with so many of us. We were talking about the theme last year for the breakfast was come to the table. And the whole idea is it doesn't really matter where you've been. It doesn't really matter where you are. God's invitation is not a VIP invitation. It's an invitation for all, wherever you are. And that was our whole goal of the message that we wanted to permeate out toward those who attended last year, obviously virtual. But, you said something, and we had a very diverse, we had some CEOs, you were on as a general manager of a Christian radio station, we had a professional basketball player on the panel, we had a very diverse panel. And, you know, we were talking about it, and you said, you know, looking around the room here, there is a diversity in every resume. There's a diversity in background. We all have diverse experiences, but the thing that unites all of us is our brokenness. You know, oftentimes that's not something people want to talk about, you know, because social media, it's like nobody looks broken. And I'm not talking about, I'm not a believer of you completely hanging your dirty laundry out for all to see, but I am a believer in being authentic. We are all, whether or not we want to admit it or not, we've all got things in our life that are broken, you know, and we come from broken places many times. And I just thought that was so beautiful. Do you have anything further to say about that, Sandy?
I think it is the way that we're all going to come together. I really do, because it's what we all have in common. It's a simple statement, so I don't know that there needs to be a ton expanded upon on it, other than I'm willing to go there. And I can compare myself crazy. And usually when I do that, I don't measure up. That's how I was probably feeling that day on panel, to be honest. And social media, that just accentuates all of the ways in which what we don't have or what we disagree on or whatever. And so I just try, when I'm getting to that place just for myself, to say, okay, that person is not just this crazy successful. They have a broken place too. And so what I have found is when I'm willing to maybe even just lead the way and start that, something melts in the room. And I try to do that on the air as well, because I think there's this expectation of a Christian radio station. You're going to come on and you're going to tell me how you've got something figured out or how I need whatever. And we try not to do that, because the truth of the matter is we are broken. So whether I'm in a room with very successful people, whether I'm on a panel, whether I'm on the radio, just to try to lead with something vulnerable that says, I don't have it together, or here's a piece of my brokenness, or here's how I really messed up yesterday, or feel bad about what I said or did or whatever. And I've just found that there's more common ground there. And that's a place to start. If we try hard enough, we'll disagree about 10 other things, but can we start about where we are? And that is that we're all hurting in one way or the other. And I don't like that. I wish it weren't true, but it is. And maybe that's just also intentional for a place for us to gather together and start to work with each other and for each other.
That is so beautiful. And God knows that about us too, Sandy. He sees all of that too. He knows we're broken, you know. But I wrote a blog a few years ago about kintsugi, the Japanese art form, like the vase that's broken. And when they put that back together, they use the gold filigree to put it all back together. They don't cover up those gold filigree though. They don't cover that up. They leave that because that's what makes it beautiful. You know, I think when we can be vulnerable like that, people look at you and you go, wow, she's got struggles too. So I just think that's so beautiful. And it's a great thing for us all to remind ourselves of. So Sandy, you have had the opportunity now to meet so many Christian artists. You've met so many of them. Many of them have been here for concerts. And I know that you do the tour to Nashville and, you know, that sort of thing. Have there been some stories that have just really stood out to you or broken your heart or surprised you? Can you give us one or two of those little anecdotal stories, if you would?
Well, one that stands out the most, it ties into the area of brokenness. I have nothing in common with any of these artists. I don't sing well. I don't play well. I'm not artsy or creative. So I love to find the places, again, where we may have some commonality, and whether that's family or brokenness or whatever. But I will never forget when Stephen Curtis Chapman's young daughter was hit by a car and passed away. And I got the call that evening, and he and I have gone back probably 30 years in Christian music and things and have a friendship. But to think of him as not one on a stage, because it doesn't matter how many records you sold or how many people have attended your concerts when you experience loss like that. I can only imagine. I've not experienced that loss. I drove to Nashville a few days later for the service, and to see a man who seemingly always had every right word to say, every song sung, but in that moment, he was just a broken dad. But he was still one that had his arms raised. And I was several rows back behind his family when songs were being sung. And I'm sure they were intended to bring comfort, and I'm sure that they did. But to see a dad who had lost something so precious and was still saying, God, I still believe that you are the answer for my life. And I still believe you are who you say you are, even through this pain, was something I'll never forget. And it's why I treasure him as a person, because he was walking out faith. All he saw was pain. I don't know. I just respect him because I saw his faith in a way I'd never seen it before. It just inspired a song, or it was in the hardest times he was walking it out. So he's a hero of mine. And to see how he and his family didn't lose faith. They had pain that was very real and brought them to their knees, but they still cried out to God at that time and didn't question him. So yeah, he's my hero for that.
That really is incredible, because thanking God and praising him, even in the midst of a storm like that. Sandy, I've not experienced that either, but I know that there's going to be listeners that probably have lost a child, and our hearts go out to you. I cannot even imagine the pain of that. And anything greater, really, on this side of heaven. Yeah, I cannot imagine a greater pain. That's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that.
I don't know his mind or his heart. I don't know if he was praising or if he was just reaching up like, help me. You know, I think all of us have those times in our life where we experience something that we would want to, God, you could have prevented this and you didn't. Or you could make this pain go away and you're not. And the why questions, we all get there for different things. But where else are you going to turn, Lisa? I don't want to say that he was still going, yes, God is good in that moment, but I saw him reaching up.
Yes.
And that's all any of us can do. And so that was inspiring to me that he still knew, where does my help come from, right? Because yes, I've got nothing except for him. So it was good.
And God has promised us, Sandy, when we do that, you know, that he will be there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, even if we feel like he has. You know, he's always there and he's just ready for us just to reach out. So I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that story. So, you know, is there anything about Sandy Brown that you wish people knew about you that they don't know about you?
On the funny side, you can see it. I have a flying pig in my office, right?
The flying pig. Yes. Tell us about that.
I like pigs, and I like flying pigs because they're a pig, but they're that anything is possible kind of pig, right? So people don't know that I like pigs. And I think people, they assume, since you are on the radio or have an opportunity to meet artists or whatever, they assume some things about you. But I wrote in my journal once, if anybody knew how afraid I am most of the time, they would be shocked. And so I would probably think they underestimate how much time I spend worrying or fearful or second guessing, those types of things. So I like pigs. And I like to remind myself all things are possible, because most of the time that's not my headspace.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That is awesome. So I'd asked you about the something extra that you've seen in a teammate, and you had something really cool that I want you to tell our listeners about. One of your teammates had said something to you, and now it's kind of become part of the culture at Joy FM.
Yeah. So I was in a one-on-one meeting with a staff person relatively new to our ministry, and so still feeling her out and she's feeling me out. She said, permission to speak freely? And I said, well, of course, you can always speak your mind, right? And then she went on to say something that was a little bit of a difficult conversation, and honestly was something I probably needed to hear, but was she the one to tell me and all of that? And we talked about not only the issue that she brought up, but about why she said permission to speak freely. And when she explained the why behind it, we immediately then explained it to the entire staff, and it became this word bank for us. Because what she was really saying was, she knew she could say anything, but what she was doing was preparing my heart to say, Sandy, it's difficult for me to say, and it might be difficult for you to hear. So are we both right here, right now, emotionally present to have a difficult conversation? It opened my eyes to the need for that kind of preface to some difficult conversations sometimes. And so we've just embraced that as a culture to say, you know, if I'm getting ready to go into something that I know that you don't know, right? I know we're getting ready to go into bumpy waters here, but you don't. It's only fair for me to give you a little bit of warning. And also it's fair for you to say, yes, I want to have this conversation, but not right now, or whatever. So there's so many pluses to it. And so we just call it the permission to speak freely mindset. And as a staff, we know what that means. And it has really been helpful for those difficult conversations. And they're not all like a bomb's getting ready to explode. Who knows what it could be, but it prepares both sides for the conversation.
Yeah. You know what? That is so wise, truly, to kind of have that vernacular that everybody knows when you say this, this could be something difficult, you know? We go to the Crossing Church, which is a multi-site church here in St. Louis, and they've got a saying that says, not my backpack, meaning that is something somebody else owns. That's not a fight that I want to have or a either or, you know, I'm not this way or that way. You know, it's not my backpack. You know, that's not something that I necessarily need to own. So, you know, I love kind of that vernacular that everybody understands what it is. And I think it's a great way to communicate. So Sandy, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
What I'm learning to grow into, and I need this, so maybe other leaders do as well. And that is the art of being emotionally present. And that ties in with that permission to speak freely. I've gone from meeting to meeting to meeting before out of necessity, but my emotions, I'm still back two meetings before, which is really unfortunate because I'm probably missing some of the engagement in this meeting. And it also means whoever I'm having a meeting with now is not only experiencing my reaction to them, but my reactions two meetings ago too. And so the something extra I would just challenge all of us to be is really emotionally present. And also the freedom to say, I'm not. So can we postpone this meeting? Can I owe you the gift of being fully present, fully engaged, fully listening. And if for whatever, hopefully I can get there, but if I can't, then let's just pause and let me be emotionally where I am and present somewhere else. So I don't know how that sits with you, Lisa, but it's a challenge for me. And I want to get better at one, detaching from the emotions from the last meeting and attaching and being present emotionally with whoever I'm engaging with right now, a listener, a staff person, you, right? That was one of my prayers before starting. Can I really be emotionally present so that you feel seen and known and heard and engaged with? And if two people are doing that, that's good stuff.
And you know what? It's been challenging this last year. There's been a day, there was one day, I would not recommend this, but I had 16 Zoom meetings that day. So, you know, I'm going from one Zoom meeting to the next with no margin. So that's the other thing. I talk about white space and margin. Build a little margin in around those. So like if you do have a difficult conversation, that you can process that, have a little bit of time before you go into the next, because people want to know that they're seen and they're heard. And, you know, it's not a knock against us because that's human. It's hard to detach, right? Well, I know last year during the CBWB, you were taking a little bit of time because you were writing a book. Tell our listeners about that. Where are we in the process?
Well, a year later, it's still being written, but it's almost done. And it's called Healing Out Loud. We're literally putting the finishing touches on it now. So hopefully it'll be out around the first of the year. And it is touches on some of the things we've just touched on, how to be emotionally present when there are things that are vying for our emotions from the past, and how can we grow into who we were intended to be and not just carry all those things in our backpack, right, that are weighing us down emotionally and every other which way. So yeah, it's been a labor of love, and I'm really excited about it. And maybe we'll have more to say about, hopefully, the first of the year when it comes out.
It's a hard process, but I know that so many people are going to benefit from your labor of love. So we'll be looking forward to that. So is there anything coming up that you want to tell our listeners about, and how can they get involved, that sort of thing?
Well, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, so I'm going to piggyback on that. The Christian Business Women's Breakfast. I know it's coming up this fall. It's an annual event, and it's going to be in person again this time, right?
Yes, it is. We're so excited. We'll have a virtual component as well, but we're expecting a sold out crowd probably October the 14th.
It's a place to gather and belong and get encouraged and refreshed and learn some things that you could maybe apply to business, but also just to life, and to feel again like you're not the only one. Work can get to be pretty isolating at times. And again, we just get in our headspace, and this is just a chance to put it all down, unite around our brokenness, unite around getting refreshed and poured into. So I would encourage anyone in the business women's space to come plug in and just see what you get from it. It's going to be good. And it's coming. The fact that we're going to be live again is going to be so good.
It's going to be so good. And Sandy Brown is moderating the discussion. So we're so excited about that. But Sandy, this has been so much fun for me. Thank you. This is definitely the most fun thing I will do all day. So thank you so much for being on the show. And I just know that your story and all your words of wisdom are going to help our listeners. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Lisa, for the opportunity. Look forward to seeing you in October.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.